We're live at Penny's Diner, located on Nevada City Highway here in Grass Valley, for the Monday edition of On the Town, Tell Me Something Good. I'm Jan Fischler, and I have two guests today, and I'm really excited because I contacted Diane Covington Carter, who's a local author, journalist. I don't know, she's done a lot of things, been a therapist in her past, and I happened to meet her at a C. Jane Doe conference about a year ago, and we were standing in line, and she was telling me how she had fallen in love with this man, and it was kind of a backwards love story, and now they have a book called Falling in Love Backwards, An Unlikely Tale of Happily Ever After. And so she's here with me today with her husband, Landon Carter. And we're going to be talking about love and marriage and how to make it work. And I think, especially with the holiday season coming, which is super stressful for people and a time when if you're going to argue, you probably will, I just am so excited to have you both here. So I'm going to have each of you tell me a little bit about yourselves. I'm going to start with Landon because I started reading your bio and I went, oh, my God, what hasn't this guy done? So welcome, Landon.
Thank you, Jan. Well, let's see. So in terms of about me, I have, and related to this topic, I've been kind of on a quest to find out how do we create reality in life, and what are some of the answers to the important questions of who am I, how do I structure my ego, or how is my ego structured, and how do I actually bring about the kind of life that I really have wanted. And, you know, I'm 70 now, so it's been quite a quest, and I wrote an earlier book called Living Awake, which are dealing with a lot of the principles that we talk about in Falling in Love Backwards. But I had not met a partner who was willing to play with me at that level of intensity until I met Diane. And, you know, she's my angel, because if you read the book, you'll find out that I don't come out, in the beginning anyway, with any great stars or accolades. I'm kind of the guy that has a lot of the male male programming, and Diane was just wonderful enough to kind of let me go through all of that, and then the honesty that we kind of committed to, and telling the truth was really what brought us through. You know, there's a whole thing: the truth. If you tell the truth, or the truth will set you free, which is actually true. But it'll really upset you in the process. And so how to deal with that is really what our book's about.
That's great. I know the truth will set you free. However, you have to be willing to speak that truth and walk your talk. And sounds like you didn't start out as the knight in shining armor. I'll let Diane talk next.
Well, I had first met Landon in 1979. When he led a workshop I did for 6 days that was a very scary for me, jumping off a mountain on a zip line and all these things that I was afraid of heights. So I knew who he was, and I thought of him out of the blue 30 years later, so we're fast-forwarding to 2009. And I thought, you know, I want to thank him because my whole life changed when I did that, and I went on this path of personal growth. And so I found him on the Internet. He had a website, sent him an email, thanked him. And then we got together 9 months later to talk about his book, Living Awake, since I'm a writer. And that's when our Falling in Love Backwards started. And as he said, it did start backwards because he didn't think I was, you know, it. You know, I didn't fit the pictures that he had from his male programming. And so that was hard. You know, that was hard. And a lot of my friends say, I would have hit him on the side of the head with my biggest cast iron frying pan, you know. And I had those thoughts. But, you know, we got through it because, again, I knew who he was from 30 years ago. And I knew that inside, beyond that male programming, was a really good man. So I stuck it out. So, you know, the bottom line is that if you can just get past some of the stuff that's on the surface and down to who people really are, you know, you can have these great relationships. And it's never too late because I was 60 and he was 66 when we got together. So
it's interesting because I have so many friends who do Internet dating. And what you're talking about is the polar opposite of Internet dating, which is you're just looking at people's profile pictures, you're reading all the ego stuff about them, and then you meet, like one of my friends said, well, he just forgot to tell me that he weighed 400 pounds. So anyway, it's really nice. Now, did you go all the way to New Zealand?
Well, we started out here in Nevada City, And that was helpful because Landon really liked it here. But he was living in New Zealand, and, you know, talk about a long-distance relationship. So I did get on a plane to New Zealand about 2 months, 3 months into our relationship. But if you read the book, you'll find out. It was like he said, oh, I love you, you know, come on over. So I did. But then when I got there, he changed his mind, basically. You know, he saw me getting off the plane, thought, no, she doesn't fit my pictures. And it was really, really bad. But we turned it around because I knew who he was from the past. I said, let's create an experiment. I'm here for 19 days. I'm kind of stuck here. And let's learn as much as we can about relationship because we might not end up together. We're certainly not looking like we are going to. And I'll learn about men, you'll learn about women, and we'll tell the truth and we'll see what happens. And it turned out beautifully. You know, we got through some really, really rough patches. And, you know, we've been together 4 years. We got married a year and a half ago with this beautiful ceremony with our kids and grandkids, and we're doing great. So, you know, it's possible.
So had you been married before, both of you?
I had been married twice before. The first one was basically we should have been brother and sister. I mean, it was the sister of my roommate at Andover at high school. And then the second one was with my wife for 20 years, and we had children and, you know, did that whole thing. And the thing that's amazing to me, I mean, there were some really good times in that relationship. And I had been divorced from her for 16 years before I met Diane, and I'd had a number of relationships. And I have to say, with some wonderful women, and we had some very good times. I mean, it was not, you know, and I fell in love with a lot of women. But I must say that with Diane, it's taken it to a level that I never thought was possible, where we actually meet at this place beyond time and form, where it's almost as if with no mind, no thoughts. And this the ecstasy and the joy that is so wonderful. I mean, I never thought it was possible. And so, but in order to get there, you have to keep doing the work. And so what happens is we keep clearing away the upsets, or clearing away the thoughts, or clearing away the things that keep us out of present time. And then we end up with this expanding experience of connection, a deeper, deeper connection, and, interestingly enough, more personal freedom, where I experience being more able to just be myself. And, you know,
it sounds like, too, that helps build trust, which, you know, once you've said it all and been completely honest with somebody and you trust one another, then all things are possible because you've eliminated a lot of the fear. That's at least what I'm hearing, yeah. Oh, my gosh, this conversation's going really fast, isn't it? I guess the testament is that you're never too old to fall in love, and their emphasis really is on clear communication and honesty and speaking your truth. Diane's nodding her head. So there's so much here I want to talk about. What advice do you have for our listeners who were approaching the holidays, where family's around, and it could be your intimate partner, but it could also just be family? So do your lessons that you've learned apply in that regard as well?
Absolutely, because we found a way to not argue, and what it is if I get upset, I say, wow, I just got hooked by what you said, and that means, okay, something from my past just got turned on, and it's painful. Instead of, you know, you upset me, you jerk. So we don't blame each other. We really look at ourselves, and we talk openly. I'll say, wow, I just got hooked, and we'll talk, and we'll look, and he's compassionate, or I'm compassionate if it's him. And then it's a way to heal those things. And I would say the same thing with Thanksgiving. If you're getting upset, you know, just go outside, take a breath, and say, wow, what just happened, you know, instead of immediately thinking, wow, that person's to blame. So that's a huge piece for me.
Yeah, I think changing, being able to change the reaction. In other words, you know, something happens and you react. And that's a normal consequence. That's normally what happens. To be able to take a pause just that before you react and switch around and say, well, now, wait a minute, where did that come from in me? Because it really has nothing to do, it appears to have a lot to do with your partner or whoever it is that triggered you or upset you. But if you try to get them to change, you're dealing with the problem at the wrong level. And it'll never, ever lead to what you really want. Because if you get them to change, they're going to resent it. And it's a lot of struggle. And then even your upset that was there is still there. And so it's just waiting. It's just waiting like a minefield waiting to happen. And so what you want to do is like clearing the minefield. And so it's a really a fascinating journey when you set your relationship up, or your life in a sense, up as a, how can I keep clearing away all this negative programming and traumas, et cetera, that I've had from my family of origin, et cetera, even from being a male, as an example, or being a woman in life. And when those clear away, you end up with this sense of freedom and it's really in that path of enlightenment, in a sense, and to use a relationship as the vehicle for that enlightenment.
So in other words, don't blame the situation or your family members. It's kind of lame to do that. And instead, look in the mirror and say, okay, what can I learn from this situation? What hasn't been integrated from my childhood, from my past, and take it as a learning lesson?
And I would say have real compassion for yourself, too, that you've got some things that are unhealed, because that's our human experience, and that's our mind has some machinery in it that constantly wants to replay things. And so when you have compassion for yourself, you realize, okay, I've got some stuff that I need to heal, and you won't be hard on, don't be hard on yourself is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. To be kind and loving to yourself first and to others. Yeah. Is there more that people can do at that dinner when Uncle Fred starts annoying them?
Well, I think it's good if you can be introspective enough to know what it is that normally gets triggered. For example, for me, it's I'm not good enough. Now, I'm a guy that, if you look on the outside, I've accomplished all these things my whole life. But in a sense, I've been driven by not good enough. And so that's what gets triggered. If Diane gives me a little feedback, I'm not good enough. And then the question is, how do I deal with it? Do I retreat? Do I hunker down? Do I blame her? Do I get angry in response, kind of a defensive response? Or do I go, hey, wait a minute, Diane, I just got triggered with my not good enough. And she's got her own version of not being okay.
Well, in your case, I would imagine, since you're a world champion in competitive rowing, that you would probably go out and row.
Well, that's one thing to do, but it's also, if you just do that, you're just bleeding off the energy that really should be used to look introspectively at yourself. If you can say, oh, wait a minute, this got triggered, then what happens is over and over again, that all the energy goes out of it. And so pretty soon you're not triggered anymore and you're neutral. And that's really where you want to be. You want to be neutral so that you can create in that space, so to speak, of neutrality, create who is it that I want to be. The loving, generous person, et cetera.
Okay, Diane.
I just want to say one thing that we've found is really cool in dinner parties we've had is we'll acknowledge each other. And Thanksgiving is a time to be grateful, so people could even just say something they're grateful for the year. So in other words, you have a positive conversation so that it just tends to keep things on a higher level. So that's one suggestion.
Okay, now I'm looking at the clock. We've got about 2 more minutes, and I know there's a couple of things you really want to tell people who are listening. Who's on first? You go. No, you go.
Okay, great. So one of the things we're doing just for the next few weeks is, and if you go to our website, which is www.fallinginlovebackwards.com, we'll have some information on that soon, but we just thought of it. But we're going to offer a free 20-minute consultation to anybody who wants to talk to one or both of us. And, you can go to our website or you can just call us locally here, 265-4050. So that's one thing. And we will be offering a seminar in the spring, and all that information will be on our website. So if people go to our website, they can sign up to get our newsletters, which come out about once a month, and they'll have all the information.
Let's spend a minute talking about your spring workshop. And is this a weekend workshop? And will people have a chance to learn what you've been talking about and practice?
Yes, it'll be a weekend workshop, and a couple of things. One is there are certain understandings that we will share and pass along. Two, there's a certain set of agreements that you can make with your spouse, your partner, such that you set the relationship up in a proper form. And then the third aspect will be coaching, where we actually, you know, people get a chance to be coached on things that they're, you know, that are prickly and, you know, and uncomfortable for them in a very safe space so that they've got the guidance. And then if given that it's a workshop, we'll all learn from each other because, oh, I have the same similar kinds of issues, don't we, dear? You know, and so there's a kind of a synergy that occurs in a workshop that's even better than private coaching. We do private coaching with couples, but a workshop has that advantage.
And this would be a workshop for couples only, or could individuals?
It'd also be for singles, because we were both single a long time, so we know what that's like. And, you know, talking about that, how do you transition into a relationship if you've been single a long time? And the other thing that we'll talk about in the course, which we can suggest to people right now, is to learn to acknowledge each other. You know, they say you should acknowledge a person 5 times more than you have any negative conversation, yeah, or criticism. So to start thinking about how can you acknowledge each other and start doing it on a regular basis.
It's like with little kids. You want to catch them in the act of doing it right and say, oh, good job. It's the same thing. We forget to do that as we get older, to let our spouses know that they are doing the right thing.